to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Saturday, our two-hour roundup. The chat room is open. The webcam is running. The sun is just peeking up above the horizon out there to the east of the island of Oahu. And it looks like it's going to be a gorgeous, gorgeous day, which is great because after the radio show is over, got some friends coming over. The pastor of the church, my wife used to be the choir director at, has a sick computer, and so guess who they're coming to sort it all out for them today here. Getting into the news and stuff, first of all, Matt is in the control room today. He's keeping us out of trouble, watching the dials and feeding the giant mutant hamster that runs in that little wire wheel to spin the generators to run all of this thing. And if you want to join us on the air, and please do, 2 hours is a long time just to listen to me talk. And the number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And before we get into the regular news and all the stuff I really wanted to talk about, I've got a couple of things I wanted to mention. I was listening to the news break coming into the show. And my apology for that strange sound. I keep forgetting to turn that off. That means somebody has come into the chat room at whatreallyhappened.com, and they're typing messages to me and saying they have their mug of tea and other comestibles, and they're ready to enjoy the show. So moving right along here, I'm listening to this commentary about Barack Obama is pressuring everybody to make sure they have their TVs converted to digital TV by June the 12th. There will be no more delays. The analog system is going away. The digital system will be the norm, and everybody's got to be converted over. And this is turning out to be, I think, one of the classic moves by the federal government where they're going to, like, say, ooh, we're doing something new and neat, and this justifies the high taxes, and, you know, aren't we wonderful for doing all this? And here's the problem. Here's the problem. Digital sounds really good. You know, digital is supposed to be this lossless form of communicating data, and it's really good for getting information from satellites, and there's no question that digital over cable allows you to send a lot of good signal. Now, digital over analog, there is a problem, and that is that in those areas where you're in the outlying areas of an analog broadcast, and the signal's a little bit weak, and there's maybe a little static on the screen, you can still see the picture, and you can still hear the sound. But with these new digital systems, if you're not in an area where you're getting a really strong signal, you're not going to get anything at all. You'll get junk. And I confirm that here on the island of Oahu. You know, they've been running digital. And I discovered quite by accident that one of these little tiny pocket TV sets that I bought to do my job on the set of this little TV show that I work on was able to tune in the digital signals. And so just as an experiment, sitting in my living room here in overlooking Pearl Harbor, I turned on the TV, and sure enough, I'm getting these digital broadcasts from the local network affiliates, but they're all garbaged and junked up. So it means along with the digital converter box, you've got to put up a whole new antenna. You may be in violation of zoning laws if that gets too big. And it just seems to be a real big headache. And then we heard this comment where they're saying, you've got to make sure that you can get important news and information over the TV. So what this is about propaganda. The push to make sure everybody can get the digital TVs is they're belatedly realizing that people in the outlying areas, if they can't get regular TV anymore, they're going to go right to that internet connection. They're going to get their news and information off the internet, and they're going to turn off the TV networks, and they're going to lose a huge amount of market share. And it occurred to me that one of the reasons for pushing for the digital technology is it makes pirate or clandestine television stations, which are very, very common features of an insurrection, that much more difficult and expensive to build. Because right now you can go down and you can buy just a regular, ordinary camcorder. And if you know anybody who knows the basics of RF circuits, you know, you can build a very, very simple analog TV transmitter and be on the air and hope the FCC won't come and shut you down. But with all the new digital encryption technology, where the digital encoders are the hard item to get a hold of, it makes it much more difficult for patriots and revolutionaries and insurrectionists to start broadcasting their own TV shows over the air. Of course, you know, the insurrection, the revolution, if you will, is taking place on the internet anyway. But in a time in the far off future where the government starts cutting those wires, they want to make sure that everybody's going to get their daily dose of propaganda over the commercial corporate broadcasting networks, and that may not be happening with this new digital standard. So, anyway, I just wanted to comment on that because I just thought it was very telling where they're saying you've got to make sure that you can get your news and information I get news and information just fine. I don't get it over the television. I'm getting it over the internet. I'm getting it over the email from wonderful listeners like you and people who read whatreallyhappened.com, and they send in loads of wonderful, wonderful information. So anyway, moving along, real quick note, we were talking about this shooting that took place at the Army Recruiting Center. And everyone was saying, oh, those poor recruiters. And did you notice this shooting at the recruiting station happened exactly when the military recruiters needed sympathy? Because there was the one Marine recruiter was busted for using a 14-year-old girl as a sex lure to get 18- and 19-year-old men to sign up. And he's facing like 7 felony counts of pimping this 14-year-old girl. And, of course, every one of these soldiers who signed up, you know, in order to get a little bit of time with this young lady, they're all looking at statutory rape charges right now. So the few, the proud, the convicted. Then we had the other one, the Air National Guard guy got busted a couple of days ago, was selling drugs out of his recruiting office. And we've been hearing all this talk about should we allow the recruiters to talk to minors and try and build that rapport to lure them into the military and the Army. And there's a tremendous opposition to this. And so right when the military recruiters needed sympathy, there was this shooting at the Army recruiting office in Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay, little bit of a wrinkle has come up in that one. The suspect in this case, Abdul Hakim Mujahid Muhammad, 23. Okay, has already been busted previously in Somalia with a fake passport. This guy's an intelligence operative. He's some kind of spook. So this whole shooting in Little Rock was a staged event to make us all feel sorry for those poor military recruiters and say, sure, come on in, talk to our children, talk them into going off into war and getting blown to little bloody bits so that the oil companies can grab Iran's oil and Israel can relax until it comes up with its next paranoid fantasy about a nation that has to be destroyed, that hasn't actually done anything to it yet. It is a crock. It's a false flag. And it's a shame that one guy died. I don't think that was intended, that one soldier who was hit. I think he was just going to wound a couple of people and cause a lot of damage. And the press was going to say, oh, see, those danged terrorists, they're after our recruiters, and we must support our recruiters. No, not when they're out there using 14-year-old girls as sex bait to trick kids into signing up. I'm not going to support that. And I cannot support the wars that are based on lies, which is what we know is going on here. And that whole torture scandal, the reason Barack Obama wants it to go away, and wait till you hear his latest tactic. He wants it to go away because behind the torture scandal is the fact that the war in Iraq was not based on Saddam's nukes because there weren't any. It wasn't based on Iraq having anything to do with 9/11 because we now have both former President Bush and former Vice President Cheney admitting that there was never any evidence that linked Iraq to 9/11. The entire reason for going into Iraq was, we're going to get Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda and Iraq are in cahoots. That, too, is a lie because it rests on a single confession extracted under torture. And so that is the real issue that is, and everybody knows about it, but it's the one issue nobody wants to talk about and acknowledge, because once the government has to acknowledge that the entire foundation for the war in Iraq is a lie, then they got to come up with a reason. Why are we still there? Why are we still sending our kids, to be killed and crippled over there? And that's the issue. Now, getting to what he's doing, this is a little sick, if you think about it. The New York Times is reporting today that the prisoners in Guantanamo are going to be allowed to plead guilty without a trial. And these are the guys who are all facing capital charges. So they're accused of a crime. They don't have evidence where they can, like, take them through the regular court system. No. They don't have that. And they don't want to let these guys go because, like Binyam Mohammed, they're going to be a huge embarrassment. So what's the solution? I'll tell you as soon as we come back from these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascading. Radio. Public Radio.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We've got callers on the line, but I want to finish up this story about Obama and Guantanamo. And Guantanamo is a major problem politically for the United States, and it is not a terrorist threat. It is an embarrassment. One of the already released prisoners, Binyam Mohamed, has gone public. His lawyer has, you know, gotten him these interviews. It's in the European press, and it is revealing, as I've stated many times before, waterboarding was just the tip of the iceberg. Far worse things were done to these individuals. In the case of Binyam Mohamed, He is reporting to the world, or at least to Europe. It's not being covered here in the United States, of course. But he's basically reporting, and his bodies bear the scars to prove it, that very sensitive portions of anatomy were subject to repeated mutilation with sharp knives to get him to tell where Saddam was hiding his nuclear weapons. So it may be presumed, especially since Obama is continuing to block release of the photos, it may be presumed that similar tactics were used on these other individuals down in Guantanamo. And that puts the United States in this terrible, terrible situation. They apparently don't have any evidence that they can actually take these guys to real trials with. But they don't want to release them because it's just going to make the torture scandal that much worse. Last week, Dick Cheney was saying, we should just kill them all. And apparently, Barack Obama is agreeing. And the cover story is that because all of these very dangerous terrorists, these worst of the worst, you know, these living scum, they all want to be martyrs to the cause of Islam. They all want to die and be remembered for their heroic deaths. So we're just going to give them what they want, and we're going to allow them. Like, you know, we're going to allow them to plead guilty without a trial. Just the way we allowed them to confess to assassinating Abraham Lincoln. And then they'll say, okay, they've confessed, you're sentenced to death, take them out, shoot them, and bury them, or cremate them more likely, and that will be the end of it. And that is what's going on down in Guantanamo. They've coerced confessions, they've tortured confessions out of these people, now they're going to torture a guilty plea, and then they're going to kill them. And dispose of the bodies to get rid of the evidence of war crimes committed by the preceding administration, which makes the current administration complicit and an accessory after the fact. That's what's going on. It is un-American to have secret trials and star chambers, confessions and guilty pleas extracted under torture, followed by summary execution. Away from the eyes of the public. The reason to have all trials in public, the reason to have juries, is exactly to prevent these kinds of abuses. Star chambers are un-American. They are unpatriotic. They are unconstitutional. They are French, as a matter of fact. So, we have callers on the line. We're going to go to Randy in California. Aloha, Randy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Mike, I hope you don't get tired of taking my calls because I don't want to wear out my welcome, but I find it amazing that you're available for so much airtime without people calling in, actually. So,
That is a great mystery. I contemplate that one myself quite a bit.
I am serious, Mike. I've occasionally tried to call into the Alex Jones show and been on hold for 3 weeks, and I just can't believe that people aren't calling in on a regular basis, but... So excuse me if I
well,
don't
Alex,
know.
Well, Alex, let me clarify here a little bit. Alex does reach a much larger audience than I do. He's got more on-air affiliates and more people call in. And also, he tends to get more of the adversarial callers where people are going to call in and scream, you know, you're a jerk and all those other things. And, Alex, has tremendous resources I don't have yet. to reach out to people. However, you can all help me change that by telling your friends to listen in and encouraging your local AM and FM stations to put our program in their lineup. The other reason is because it has, you know, we've asked this question before, why are we not getting more callers? And what we're getting back, and I don't intend to be this way, okay, because I don't want to be adversarial with people, but what we're getting back from the marketing research we've done is that people are a little daunted. They're a little timid and scared about getting on the air with me. And I don't know why. I'm harmless, you know. You know, I'm getting old. My teeth are soft. I don't bite anymore. So
yeah, I see you on the webcam. You know, you look pretty harmless. But, you know, obviously, Mike, you're a brilliant
man. Well, that's
man.
The nicest thing anybody said to me all day.
I mean, Mike, you're a brilliant guy. And I guess if your intellect can intimidate people. And you know, the truth is people, you know, getting on air, you know, public speaking is most people's biggest fears. And getting on the radio.
Well, you can relax here because nobody is listening to this show, so you're perfectly safe.
Oh, I don't believe that for a second, Mike. Not a second. Mike, you know, earlier you made the comment about the military recruiter that got shot. And I don't know if you remember this, but I called in that day, and I told you that I thought it smelled really fishy right off the bat.
You were right. You were absolutely correct.
And you know something? Mike, it becomes so easy to detect when these people do these little false flags if you just are paying attention and understand the problem, reaction, solution concept. You know, that guy, as soon as I saw that story, the guy was driving a black SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They found an assault rifle, another keyword, in his vehicle, and they called him a Muslim. You know, his name used to be Leon, Mike, at one time.
Yes.
Okay, and you know, I don't mean anything racist by that, but I don't know too many Muslims by the name of Leon.
Well, the whole idea is when you convert to Muslim, you adopt a Muslim name. I mean, that's how Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali, and
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, and I don't even remember what his name was before that. And the point, however, is that, you know, when you get black SUV and assault rifle and all the other stuff put together, it stops looking like the real world and starts looking like a B movie script. Now, as far as people seeing this stuff, the analogy I like to use is stage magic, performance magic, because I worked my way through college as a professional magician. And, you know, once you make that first mistake and people say, he's resorting to trickery, and they start looking for the tricks, they're going to see them. They're going to see them. Professional magic and propaganda only work as long as your audience is willing to go along and, you know, suspend the disbelief and say, ooh, isn't that wonderful? But you make that first mistake and people start looking for it, it's very, very hard to conceal that. And what we've got here is a government that has lied so many times. And the American people and the people of the world know the government has lied all these times. They're watching for it, and it does. It just leaps right out at you, and now we've got this confirmation. This guy's got spook written all over him. You know, he's
Absolutely.
Been all over the Middle East with phony passports. Yeah, he's somebody's agent.
Mike, you know, you're the old Hollywood man, and do you remember
Would you
the
back
movie?
Off on that old part, okay? Back off on that old part, okay?
Yes. I'm right there, brother.
I'm not old. I'm unavailable, okay?
Mike, you remember the movie They Live?
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
You know,
wonderful metaphor. Wonderful metaphor.
Oh, my God. Mike, you know something? I am really serious. I'm living that life right now, but I don't need the glasses, Mike. You know, when you really become aware and you're an intuitive person, it's like, Mike, I can look at some of these people, and I could
there,
just
Randy,
see right through them.
Hang on there. Randy, hold the thought. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with Randy, and then Clarence will take your call immediately after that. This is the What Really Happened Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. We're talking with Randy. We're talking about a cult science fiction movie called They Live. And I think the best scene in the whole movie is the fight scene where our hero is in this bloody fist fight with this other guy saying, put on the sunglasses, you will see the truth. And the guy saying, I don't want to put on the sunglasses. And they get into this fight in the alley, and they're just tearing each other up. And it is such a wonderful metaphor for what we in the truth movement very often find when we go out there and say, look, the world is not what you think it is.
Oh, Mike, that movie is so true. And what I wanted to say was, it's like those sunglasses, Mike, are they're just an analogy for knowledge and which you provide to everybody, mm-hmm. the truth. But really, I would like to hear you do this someday, Mike, is really explain the Hegelian dialect and the problem reaction solution and how it's used in the false plague. Flag operations and going into depth would be a wonderful thing, and it's helpful to wake up a few more people. Mike, one more question, I'll get off the phone. Mike, as a listener, I'm a member of What Really Happened.
Yes, you are.
What is the best thing we could possibly do for you and financially? Do you receive more money from more listenership, from people buying from the sponsors, from membership, from standing on the corner with a sign, please help me?
I apologize. Well, I don't know. I haven't tried that last one yet, but we're about there. And I don't mean to laugh at you. It's just that, I mean, for 16 years, What Really Happened has never been about money. Maybe it should have been. Maybe I should have been paying more attention about getting rich off of this and stuff, and I haven't, is the reality. We're here to stop World War III, is what we're trying to do here. And we're not making a lot of money. We're not getting a lot of advertisers. I mean, you know, the Pills Limbaughs and Michael Savages are the only ones that are making money in radio. And we're lucky to break even month to month is the bottom line here. So that's what's going on. So and because I get so many emails from listeners and from readers about their own dire financial straits, and I don't know if you noticed, one of our regular members has had to basically quit because they're so broke they lost their internet connection, so they're not even.
I saw that.
Yeah, and so I have a real hard time asking people for money.
Well,
and
I know you're a
yeah.
humble man, Mike, and the
no,
truth
I'm not.
Is always
well, yes,
been,
I am. I'm more humble than any five other guys you're going to talk to. But let me finish up the point here. What you can all do that is really going to help, and I don't mean me, but I mean help the cause, which is to prevent World War III. That's the reason we're all here. Okay, that's the reason we're all here, is to prevent World War III, which is going to seriously inconvenience a lot of us and make a lot of other very bad people very, very rich. So do what you're already doing, just do more of it. Go out there, talk to people, talk to friends. Don't waste time on those who don't want to wear the sunglasses or are going to fight you for it. There are plenty of people out there who are aware something has gone hideously wrong with this country, and they're ready to listen. And you need to develop the skill to identify the people who are ready to listen and ready to read and ready to see what's going on. They're ready to put on the sunglasses and then give them the sunglasses. Go out on your Twitter, on your Facebook, on your MySpace, on whatever, and just point people at the website, point people at the radio shows, and if you have an AM and FM station in your area that is carrying political talk, and they're not totally, absorbed by the neocon blog, the Borg, rather, point them at the show. Point them at the radio demo, and we're always looking for more affiliates. We're looking for more opportunities to get the word out there and build our listenership, because that's the way this is going to happen. I know a lot of people are out there buying guns. In fact, I had a friend of mine who was saying the other day that even his liberal Jewish gun-hating, gun-grabbing people, they're out buying guns now. So everybody knows a crisis and a conflict is coming here. But as I keep telling everybody, this revolution is not going to be one with bullets. It's going to be one with keyboards.
Absolutely, Mike.
And, you know, which is a lot more gentle on the landscaping and the small children, in my opinion. So that's what you can all do to help. And that's get the word out, get people reading the websites, all the websites, not just mine. Get them to listen here. Yeah, for me personally, the more radio audience I have, the better we might do. And yeah, I could use more money just like anybody else. You know, we're not in great financial shape here. But like I said, I am well aware of the dire financial straits that a lot of our listeners and our people, like Patricia, I mean, I cannot get her phone call out of my head. It's part of our permanent radio demo now. you know, I, every time I think that we're in trouble here financially, I think about that phone call from Patricia and I say, oh man, we're doing okay compared to some of these people who are reading our websites. I can't go out and ask them, you know, to send us their last few kopecks. I mean, you know, that just doesn't sit right.
Yeah,
and I guess I'm a bit of a throwback because, you know, I don't fit into this culture of greed and I never really did. And I'm one of these people who really thinks that we should all be just trying to help each other along. And, you know, money is a sometimes necessity, but other than that, you know, you find a problem around you and you fix it. And, you know, it's like my wife and I, we're volunteers for this local charity where we recycle computers from businesses and we fix them up and we give them to schools and nonprofits and museums and churches and stuff like that. And we don't charge for that and we certainly don't get any money for it, but we're keeping them out of the landfills and we're trying to keep, you know, people who can't afford to go out and buy new computers, we're trying to, you know, keep them set up. And that's how you make a better world. You find the problem that's right next to you and you fix it. And you know, just sort of do that thing. And I don't need Obama to come over here and tell me that I'm obligated to do national service because I'm already doing a service to my community, and I get to pick which, when, and where it's going to be. That's what freedom is all about.
Mike, you just do a wonderful job, and you have my utmost respect. And there are so many people out there that just have the utmost respect for you. Just keep it up, Mike, and have a good weekend, my friend.
Well, same to you, Randy, and sorry to rush you off, but we've got callers piling up here. We're going to switch over to Clarence in Oklahoma. Aloha. Clarence, welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Oh, well, hell, I couldn't agree more with your last caller, and particularly his last sentiments.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I've been absent. I've had health issues, but they're getting better. So
I was kind of wondering where you'd gone to.
Yeah, I hadn't left. I've been listening all along.
You're not taking any more of those blankets from the Army guys, right?
Well, trying not to because, you know, being a quarter Cherokee, we know how that went.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well, did it?
Well.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I want to give a shout-out to Thomas and Sweet. I know he's listening this morning.
Okay.
And well, it's morning here. It's morning. Well, wherever he is.
Well, it's morning here. The sun just came up. If you're watching through the webcam, it does. You know, I really ought to move the webcam. People are sick of looking at my face. I should put it out the window and let you see what it looks like out here. You know.
Well, you know. I know.
I imagine somewhere in the world there's some CIA agent is watching the webcam and saying, "Yes, Mike's got another gray hair today," and he files a report and he gets his salary and he gets to go home happy.
To that, you know, and I've got that. The reason why I always like to call up, I worked in radio 40 years ago at the college that I went to,
mm-hmm.
and at the college radio station. Now, I worked briefly commercially, but then I finally found out that you don't make money working in radio.
Yeah, we know that one.
And,
yes.
And so finally, you know, I dropped out of college. I lost my student deferment. I ended up joining the Air Force. And I was lucky that they didn't send me to Vietnam. I missed it by that much. You know, remember Maxwell Smart? They missed it by
that
much.
And that's how Don Adams could pull it off. This last guy just really didn't. So
yeah.
Anyway,
going back to if you don't have enough to worry about, I'm going to give you some more to worry about.
Oh, please, ladle it on.
People don't have enough to worry about, and if it ever comes down to World War III, a nuclear war, they don't need. I heard this one. Well, I listen to all shows, and I like to listen to, and I give them a plug, Coast to Coast AM, because they get some, they have some wing nuts out there, but they also have some people that really make sense. And all they need to do to bring this country to a screeching halt.
Clarence?
Yep.
Got to hold that thought. Hold it right there. I know where you're going. I want to hear it, but we got to take a break for some commercials and pay a few bills around here. So this is the What Really Happened radio show. I'm your host, Mike Rivero. Matt's in the control room. We got callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
When all this twists and steel, what's swept away? Did these remaining holes reveal what's really happening?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still talking with Clarence in Oklahoma. And Clarence, I want to tell you, I know when we're talking about World War III, I don't think it's going to be a nuclear war. Because nobody really sees much advantage in just blowing everything up. It's going to be a conventional war, and they'll say rules of engagement, war plan 7, or whatever they're going to say, where it's going to be conventional weapons only and boots on the ground. Because the purpose of a third world war is not to kill the factories and the buildings and the real estate and the parks and everything. It's simply kill up off the surplus population. And world wars are good for that. I mean, if you go back and you look at the trench warfare system of World War One, it almost, and if you're objective and cold-hearted about it, it just seems designed to just kill a lot of people in a very small piece of ground. They had all these trenches, they had the machine guns set aside, and just each side kept sending wave after wave of people through no man's land to the other trenches where they got mowed down by the machine guns. And it just seemed to be nothing more than a machine to kill off a huge surplus population. And then when the war ended, when Germany collapsed, and I guess not enough people had died, and then all of a sudden we get the Spanish flu, which first appeared on a U.S. military base and was spread around the world by traveling soldiers, and that wiped out another bunch of people. And the same thing with World War II. I mean, today is the 61st anniversary of the invasion of Normandy. Look how many people got wiped out on that one. And,
my phone is beeping. I'm getting ready to lose my batteries here.
All right. Well, Clarence, finish up what you had to say, then we'll let you go.
I'm going to say my piece here real quick.
Okay.
And if you lose me, you lose me. But, it can be done. And they don't need to drop nuclear bombs all over the country. All they have to do is 3 nuclear bombs of Hiroshima size, about 75 miles up. In 3 different places because of the Earth's turning, you know.
The electromagnetic pulse will destroy that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It will fry every electronic circuit in this country.
And it's already at work on your phone.
And it's probably working on my and I'll tell you right quick before we go.
Yeah.
You're there in Hawaii. I remember they did, before they outlawed above-ground testing,
They did a high altitude test here, and it fried all the radios here on the island of Oahu.
Exactly, it did. And they said it was clearly you could see the flash from Hawaii.
I have photos that were taken here on Oahu when the flash went off. It just lit up the whole thing. Clarence, we got to let you go. Your battery's dying, and I've got 2 callers, and we're almost to the end of hour number 1, so we're going to switch over to Solomon in Brazil. Aloha, Solomon. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Aloha, brother Rivero. Good morning and good afternoon, and my respect to your distinguished audience. First of all, Brother Rivera, let me ask you this. It would be great that the GCN policy for international calls will give us some kind of priority, because we are paying for the call, and sometimes it happened to me. You are not a prima donna, but I ran across with some prima donnas that let me hang in there for 30, 40 minutes, and then they hung up.
Well, you know, Solomon, that is actually my policy to set, and I wasn't really thinking about that. And so from now on, I will make a point, if I'm getting a caller from outside the U.S., I will try and take their calls ahead of everybody else.
Thank you very much. It's not that I want to be any kind of privilege, but let me tell you, 60 cents of dollar a minute cost a call from abroad.
Okay. No, I understand and I agree, and I will try and be sensitive to that in the future. What else is on your mind today?
We really want to participate and bring you or support, even though we cannot support you financially, but at least with our words. My comment here, Brother Rivera, is this. I was listening to you during the last 3 weeks. I'm still angry. I'm still very angry for the things that are happening, but most of all, I'm angry for what it happened with torture and what it happened with the militaries and what it happened with all the invasion and killing all around the world made up from our own government, from our own military. My comment is this. I have to agree, even though I don't like it, I have to agree that the CNN poll is pretty accurate. And let me elaborate about that. Because if you see and you pay attention, you are the one who is blowing the whistle and screaming out of your lungs, but 9 out of 10 of your calls are for any other reason. Probably I'm the number 10 call that call you and insist about the topic. But everything that happened in our actual history is the result of that. If we pay attention, it's like the old movie. You remember, everyone is connected with Kevin Bacon. Well, everyone of our actions and what is happening today is connected to the torture and to the military, whether we like it or not. And that is again coming back to the so-called conflict of interest. People don't want to talk it because they have a conflict of interest. Just strip off your conflict of interest, or let the people know all over the world that you don't care about the world, and you will still be killing people, and then people will know what kind of American they are dealing. I have a terrible problem over here to trying to explain people the action of my government. They don't understand it.
Well, you know, I don't think we understand it either, and I think on this issue you and I are going to disagree. I don't think the CNN polls are accurate. Yes, there are a lot of people in the United States who are connected to the military, and they're connected to the military-industrial complex, and maybe CNN is pointedly polling just those people. We know that the polling organizations keep lists of people whose philosophies and attitudes are already known so that they can pick a so-called random sample within this already filtered group to try and come up with the numbers that they want to make. But, you know, I don't think our government and certainly our corporate media can be trusted to carry out an honest and objective poll. They've lied about everything else. Why are they going to be honest about the polls? Yes, there are people in the United States who are pro-war because they're making money off of it, or they get medals for it, or they've been suckered into falling for the lies and deceptions because they don't have the courage to stand up and deal with the fact that the government is probably lying to them, which is kind of a dwindling minority at this point. So there are some Americans who support the war, obviously, but I think the vast majority have really had enough. And they know it's all based on lies, and they want it to stop. They just don't know how to go about it when we have a government that is absolutely ignoring everything that we say to them right now.
Brother Rivero, the problem here is that the militaries are not fulfilling their affirmation, their oath to protect and defend the Constitution from foreign or domestic enemies.
Correct.
When was the last time that we heard a high-rank official, a high-rank officer of the military, talking in favor of the Constitution? However, Tommy Franks, with no problem, he said he talked to Siguero Aficionado about 4 years ago that in any given case that we have some kind of major attack, we will just strike down the Constitution. No one punished that guy. No one disciplined that guy. He got the Medal of Freedom. So isn't that a conflict of interest?
Okay, Solomon, what you need to understand is that starting in the Nixon administration, presidents have been signing these executive orders, which, by the way, those two are also unconstitutional. They're supposed to be challenged by Congress. Congress never does. But there are a set of presidential executive orders. They're now basically considered laws at this point. In the event of a national emergency declared by the president, the Constitution can be suspended. That is now written into the laws of the United States. The Supreme Court refuses to look at the constitutionality of it, or even of the whole executive order process, because executive orders are only supposed to be issued by the president to enact those laws passed by the Congress. But presidents have been invoking various declarations of emergency in order to expand the role of the executive order. I mean, every president comes into office, the first thing they do is issue several proclamations continuing the state of emergencies declared by their predecessors. We've got some states of emergency in the United States going back to 1933, because it gives the president these additional powers they otherwise would not have. What we need is somebody who's a president, just once, who's got the courage to say, I am rescinding all those previous states of emergency, the power goes back to the Constitution and the Supreme Court and to the states, and we're going to basically go back to our constitutional form of government. Of course, I think any president who announced that would be dead within 24 hours. Because that was a big reason why Abraham Lincoln got shot, is he made it very clear that he wanted to take the U.S. back to the form of government that had existed before the Civil War. And that was a threat to people like Secretary of War Edwin Stanton. So, you know, unfortunately, Solomon, we have to let you go here. We're going to stop for the news and commercials. You got it. Call in again. We will take your call as soon as you come in when possible. And we'll do that for all of our listeners in other countries. I really wasn't thinking about how much it costs you to call into the show. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to go with Tony in California as soon as we come back from the news and commercials. So stay with us. We'll be back after these few minutes. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Hour number two of our two-hour Saturday wrap-up. We're going to go right back to the phones. Tony in California. Aloha, Tony. Welcome to the show. Thank you for sitting on hold all this time. I know you've been there for a while. What is on your mind today?
I appreciate that, Mike. Yeah, and thanks. I appreciate because the board op came on and asked me too. So that's really great. I'll just get right into what I want to say, because you were talking about caring for others, and I constantly think about when Alex went to the Bohemian Grove and broke in there and watched this cremation of care thing. And now that's proven, because you know, and you can go and look up cremation of care, but my theory is that kind of stuff sort of trickles down to the populace. And so now we've got this society where people only care about what's going to benefit them directly. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm out here looking for a job, and I can see that. You know, I mean, so there's just some nasty people interviewing. You know, and it just creates the whole system. In order for them to get somebody to support this globalism stuff, the people that are only going to that are going to hard charge for this are people that really don't care about other people, criminals.
Yes.
So it just creates this system of chewing people up. You know, I was talking with somebody the other day about, because he's going to school, to law school, and studying to either be a police officer or a lawyer or something. And you know, we're talking about these liberty issues with and he's like going, how am I going to follow the Constitution? I don't even know how that applies.
Well, you know, one of the problems, and we were talking about this the other day when we were talking about how when the American colonies were issuing their own money, there was no unemployment, there was no poverty, there was a lot of charity going on because there was adequate currency for everybody to be taking care of their needs. And if you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, when your immediate needs are being met, then you start thinking about making a better world, so forth and so on. The problem when you have a debt-based banking system, because inevitably it crushes everybody down to that bottom level of Maslow, and everybody's just thinking about their next meal. And last night my wife and I were watching Slumdog Millionaire on cable, and if you have not seen it, you got to watch it, because it really hammered home this idea of an entire nation of people enforced down to just incredible amounts of poverty. And then I was sitting there thinking, wow, how did India get to be this way? Well, they used to be a British colony, and like the United States, their banking system is based on the Bank of England model. They have their own version of a Federal Reserve, a privately owned bank that issues the rupee at interest. And inevitably, it seems that anywhere that this type of banking system is in place, everybody is eventually crushed down to this incredible level of poverty. They're thinking about their own immediate needs. I mean, some of the brutality that was shown and depicted in this movie, is going to take your breath away.
Yeah, and by the way, I can affirm for that, because I've been to some of these, sort of borderline third world countries, and you can see in the people, there's not enough people that are I'm going to die for my rights or something. I don't know what it is. There's some kind of, I guess you could call it socioeconomic or something, but they don't have that sparkle in their eye that a lot of Americans sort of still do for, you know, being entrepreneurs.
Well, that sparkle is the sense of hope that we can if we work hard enough. But we're losing that right now because
we are. Yeah, and I kind of feel like we have to hold the line for the rest of the world until the rest of the world's ready to stand up too. I mean, they're already doing it. I mean, we've seen the riots and stuff, but I mean, you know, it's got to be sustained more than just a couple riots. There's got to be a really fundamental change.
Well, I think it's going on, but I think the American media has stopped reporting on it because they don't want us uppity American taxpayers to start getting bad ideas.
Yeah, well, they're not going to be able to ignore it forever. I mean, I noticed that they're still talking about that pork flu on the news.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know,
the when pigs fly
talking
flu,
about
yeah.
that anymore. It's really not news, I don't think.
You know, no, they're just trying to push more vaccines and stuff. Anyway, anything else for you, Tony?
Well, I was just going to say, if anybody's destitute out there, you can always take a vacation on Google Maps.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of fun, especially the street level stuff that they've got out there now. And
exactly.
You know, you
I was
catch your neighbors doing something embarrassing.
Yeah, check it out. All right, have a great weekend, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tony. I guess Tony is engaged in an enforced staycation I noticed they're talking about that here in the United States. You know, stay home in the U.S. Have your vacations here. Don't waste gas. And there's that terrible piece of propaganda, locked up abroad. You know, they don't want us going anywhere else. The reality is, though, a lot of Americans are leaving this country. We're seeing population declines in a lot of places. We're seeing a population decline here in Hawaii. People are getting out. So anyway, getting back to the news, however, and again, if you want to join us on the air, Matt is in the control room. The phone number is 800-259-9231. To the best of my knowledge, the phone lines are open right now. Matt, correct me on that if I'm mistaken. I don't want to miss anybody or make them think I'm ignoring them. Today is the 65th anniversary of D-Day. And, of course, Barack Obama's been over the Middle East, and now he's at Normandy, and he's talking about the Great War and the glory and all the rest of this other stuff. And a couple of days ago, he was at Buchenwald and talking about, you know, denial of the Holocaust is hateful and blah, 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 blah. And Barack Obama has obviously signed on to the cult of let's live in the past. And we are going to always be seeing ourselves in terms of the great World War II and the bad Nazis and the good Americans. And we're just going to sort of like step over this place called Gaza as if it didn't really exist. And I have to tell you, I and a lot of other people, we're so disappointed with Barack Obama. He's gone from zero to Bush in just 5 months flat. And for Obama to get out there and pander to, you know, the propaganda of World War II as shamelessly as he's done, at the same time he's absolutely refusing to deal with what happened in Gaza with American money and American weapons, and certainly given this incredible stunt they're getting ready to pull in Guantanamo of allowing these accused worst of the worst to plead guilty in a death penalty case and then just give them summary executions without any kind of a trial. Because these guys are an embarrassment. They don't actually have any evidence against any of them. It's all confessions extracted under torture. And now they're going to get a guilty plea extracted under torture, and then they will kill them. And they will say it's all sound in logic and law, and therefore it must be right. It's the same logic that sent a million people to death by fire for the crime of witchcraft. Which gets back to this bottom line. If torture really gets accurate information, then yes, women can actually turn themselves into animals and fly over the town on their broomsticks or their vacuum cleaners or whatever they're using these days. So, you know, it's absolutely shameless. And the reality is that, you know, we as the American people, now that we know we get lied to on a massive scale by our government because of Saddam's nuclear bombs and everything, we're looking back and realizing that there were a lot of lies in World War II, and I'm not just talking about the German slave labor camps and what did or did not happen in there. I mean, the popular myth, and you will see this enshrined in movies like The Longest Day, which I have no doubt are being played on TV stations across America right now, about when we stormed the beaches at Normandy and Omaha and everything, the local French people were cheering us and welcoming our soldiers with flowers and everything like that. It absolutely was not true, because in the weeks or in the days leading or in the hours leading up to the Normandy invasion, the Allies just pulverized the coastline with artillery. And they weren't being very careful about their targets. They were hitting not only the German emplacements, they were destroying farms, they were destroying dairies, homes, gardens, everything was being shelled. And the French people were not happy about the Normandy invasion because it meant more death, more grief, more suffering. They were tired of war. It was not a happy occurrence for the Allies to march in. That is one of the distortions of history that the filmmakers in Hollywood want to give you. You know, yes, some wars are good, these wars are good, and what Obama is trying to do is to reignite America's popular support for World War II to exploit shamelessly as he takes us into World War III. Now, Poland, who even as we report this, apparently Russia is now trying to say it was Poland who started World War II. My goodness, how time is flying here. All right, we're going to take a break here. When I'm going to come back, I want to talk about the post-war treatment of Germans and why it was any less onerous than any other war crimes that were going on. And then we have, I guess, two people waiting on the phone right now, and we will get to their calls as soon as we come back from these commercials.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about all the commemorations going on for the 65th anniversary of the D-Day invasions in Normandy. And the keepers of the status quo or the orthodoxy are out there trying to reinforce the popular cultural myths about the Great War and how right we were and how wrong the enemy was, and we never did bad things and they did all the bad things and so forth and so on. And as a nation who is in the middle of another war started with lies and deceptions and fraud and propaganda and hoaxes and everything, prudence demands that we do honestly look back at what we have been doing in around the world and take an honest look at that. Because if you really think about it, World War II boils down to, oh, the Japanese just attacked us, let's go invade France. I mean, that was basically the entry of the United States into World War II, was the Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor, let's invade Normandy. Now, if you think about it, where's the connect? And it says, oh, well, there was a Nazi ally and blah, 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 blah. And if you look at the actual history of the war, the United States put all of its military effort, 90% of its military effort, went into the war in Europe. And it was only after Hitler was defeated that they went back out to the Pacific and said, okay, now we've got to wrap up Japan and just, you know, call it a day there. We know now, because of documents declassified in 1994, that Franklin Roosevelt not only knew the Japanese were coming to attack Pearl Harbor, which is out this window here to the left, but that he actually provoked them following an eight-step plan by Office of Naval Intelligence Lieutenant Arthur H. McCollum to goad Japan into the attack as the back door to get into war against Hitler. Because the U.S. had actually been sinking German ships in the North Atlantic. And Hitler did not want the U.S. to come into the war. So the official policy of Germany was those ships all hit icebergs or sharks ate them or the Kraken came up and took them down. But Germany went out of its way to avoid giving the United States a reason for entering the war until the tripart agreement was signed between Japan, Italy, and Germany. Roosevelt goaded Japan into attacking the U.S., and that was the excuse for the United States to go into war in Europe. So we've got this, you know, very propagandistic view of history that's been given to us by Hollywood and the media, and it's not standing up because, as I was mentioning before the show, and then I will get to the callers who are waiting on the line. I know you're there. Don't worry. Apparently, the Polish authorities, after the fall of communism and so forth and so on, the Polish authorities are investigating murder charges against Solomon Morel, who was a secret police officer in the communist resistance during World War II. In the spring of 1945, after the collapse of Germany, he was put in charge of what had been a Nazi concentration camp near, I can't even begin to pronounce the names. It's on the front page of What Really Happened. Here's the bottom line. At the end of World War II, the Nazi concentration camps were not closed. They simply put the Germans into them and starved them to death. Now, this Mr. Morel lost both of his parents and his two brothers during the war, which is a tragedy, but, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and the whole world winds up toothless. Anyway, witnesses at the camp he commanded after the war charged that he had hundreds of German civilians tortured to death and killed many of them with his own hands. The camp was dissolved in late 1945 because of typhus outbreaks, which was still a major problem in all of the camps across Germany at that point. And apparently, this Mr. Morel now lives in Tel Aviv with his daughter. So there's a lot of the history of World War II that has been kept from you. I mean, there are a lot of people who view the saturation shelling of the Normandy coast prior to the actual invasion as a war crime on the same level with the firebombing of Dresden. Because they were shelling civilian positions. They were selling civilian resources. They were just laying waste to this entire area to soften it up for the invasion. And the invasion itself was just a total disaster planning. I mean, we've even in the movies, they admit that paratroopers were dropped in the wrong place, people were landing on the wrong beaches, and the only reason it succeeded, and this is the brutal truth here, is the Allies put more soldiers on the beach than the Germans had bullets. And when the Germans ran out of bullets and couldn't kill any more of our guys, they fell back, and that was the beginning of the invasion. And we've got a lot of people who are out there, they're pounding on this anniversary, they're trying to sell the official legend of the war because they need Americans to feel good about any war because they're getting ready to sell us another one. A war with Iran, potential war with Russia, potential war with China, potential war with Korea. It is very obvious. The United States and Israel are the belligerent parties here. We're the new axis. The United States and Israel starting a war, any war, because we got to kill off a bunch of surplus people and make a lot of money in the process and redraw the map in our manifest destiny to rule the world as the gods have declared. We're going to go to the phones. I believe it's pronounced Dami in Canada. Aloha, Dami. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, a little off topic, but first-time listener, long-time fan. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to encourage any Christian listeners or anyone who's interested in the end times to compare the Club of Rome and their 10 economic kingdoms with the 10 horns of the beast. Really off topic, but...
Yeah, just a little bit here. And, you know, I know it's very, very tempting for a lot of people to want to say this one group is doing the planning, or it's the Council on Foreign Relations, or it's the Bilderbergers, or it's the Illuminati, or it's this or that. The reality is the world is very badly factionalized. You have these giant pools of capital and wealth that are warring with each other. Banking systems are warring with each other, and we, the ordinary people, just get caught in the aftermath and ground up as grist for these large pools of money to operate. And especially with the advent of computerized financial systems, we're literally seeing the rise, and this is probably going to strike a lot of people as kind of a weird idea. But if you really think about it, we're turning the entire planet intelligent with these vast computer networks whose only goal is to make money for their owners. And so they're utterly ruthless and they're utterly inhuman. And they do make a lot of the decisions in our lives every day because, you know, whether you get to keep your home or be foreclosed is being decided by a computer. It's not being decided by a human. Which businesses get funded for development is being decided more often than not by computers and not by people. And that's why you're seeing so much cheap junk get investment money to get out on the market, make a quick profit, and many very projects that might actually be beneficial to humankind are basically being left behind because we're transferring our choice-making process from humanity to these intelligent systems that we're building. And in a way, we're creating our own successor on this planet because one of these days, and it's not too far off, we're going to look into these terminals and we're going to see somebody looking back. And the first one that blinks is going to lose their gonads. All right, we're going to switch over here to Teresa in Canada. Aloha, Teresa. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I've just finished doing some research on mercenary companies, and mm-hmm. I had some help from the chat room. And I'd like to say, Jin, thank you. You did great. These mercenary companies, they're scary companies. They
yes.
are scary, scary, scary organizations.
Yes,
I came across research that said that DynCorp was working together with Monsanto spraying farms and coca fields in Colombia and in Ecuador.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I came across articles that said DynCorp was involved in sex slave trading in
yes.
girls as young as 12 in Bosnia
yep.
and narcotics training,
yep.
narcotics trading, and also a DynCorp Bosnia site supervisor was caught on tape raping a woman in Bosnia.
Okay, Teresa?
Yeah.
Hang on to that thought. Got to take a break here. I'm going to keep you into the next segment. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Teresa on the phone right now. We're talking about the mercenaries The U.S. government is avoiding the necessity of calling for a draft, which would be politically explosive at this particular time. And they're basically spending trillions and trillions of your tax dollars to hire mercenaries who are professional soldiers. They are not subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They are not subject to the laws of the lands that we are sending them in to invade. They have been at the heart of some of the most egregious abuses against the civilians. It is not a coincidence that when four Americans were basically lynched in Iraq, that they were all Blackwater mercenaries who had been basically going out. And as Teresa was saying, they feel like, you know, it's a big party. It's like Disneyland with guns. They can go out and kill anything they want, blow up sheep just to see them scatter, and, you know, rape all over the place, and just and all kinds of terrible things going on. And they are basically America's version of the Hessians. If you remember the American Revolutionary War, Britain went out and hired German mercenaries, the Hessians, to come in and help crush down the American Revolution. Didn't work out too well, and it's not working out too well for us in Iraq. But absolutely, these guys are operating without control, and they are used as a de facto army for U.S. foreign policy. As far as the spraying of coca down in South America, you need to understand that it's very selective, because the only cocaine being destroyed by these operations is the cocaine belonging to drug dealers who are not doing business with America's CIA and, you know, our entitled families. And for those of you, if you've never seen a book called Compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA, it was written by Terry Reed, who was in the operation. You need to find it. Very hard book to find right now. It's like Operation Black Eagle. It just seems to disappear into the shredders whenever found. But if you can ever find it, Compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA, it will tell you what is really going on in the halls of power in this country. So, Teresa, didn't mean to take away from you, but go ahead and pick on up where you were.
Okay. Here's some more about Blackwater. You know that it's changed its name to XE.
Mm-hmm.
Blackwater was founded by Eric Prince, who used mm-hmm. to be an ex-Navy SEAL. Kofor Black is now the current vice chairman, and XE's president, Gary Jackson, is also a former Navy SEAL. Now, mm-hmm. Kofor Black used to be the director of CIA's counter-terrorist center at the time of the September 11 attacks in 2001. I'm reading this. I'm just reading this off a website. He was the U.S. Department of State coordinator for counterterrorism with the rank of ambassador at large from 2002 to 2004. And now this guy ends up running a mercenary outfit. Makes you wonder, you know, like, it's the CIA, the Pentagon, U.S. State Department, they're all working together with the mercenaries.
It sounds to me like it's another CIA proprietary, where, you know, it's a front company. I mean, like Brewster Jennings and Associates was a CIA proprietary. Nobody knew it, of course, until the White House outed Valerie Plame. But it is no secret that the Central Intelligence Agency owns and operates quite a few American businesses, Evergreen Airways, a couple of other airlines they had for a while. One of the more benign examples is the Folders Travel Guides. And it's an excellent cover because people, you know, their agents will go into other countries and say, "Hi, I'm from the Folders Travel Guide. Do you mind if I walk around here and take some pictures?" And they'll say, "Oh, no, our tourism department will take you around. You can take all the pictures you want." And it's just a great way for building up ground truth. You know, because, you know, they don't think you're a spy. They think you're from a travel guide. And so it makes perfect sense. You're wandering all over their country with camera gear.
Here's something else that I found. This is from the Harvard Review. When Kofi Annan was UN Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping, he explored the option of hiring South African private military company Executive Outcomes to aid in the Rwandan refugee crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quote. He finally decided against the option, declaring that, quote, "the world is not ready to privatize peace." Now, that one just blew my mind. I read that and, you know, like, it was, who is thinking here? And how was Kofi Annan involved with mercenaries? Because he would have been making money off of that.
Well, the reality is that these mercenary companies, and it's not like mercenaries are anything new. They've been throughout history. It's just now it has sort of become part of the background political fabric of the United States. They are armies for hire. They are killers for hire. That's what they do. You know, when it absolutely positively has to be destroyed overnight, you send in Blackwater or XE or whatever they're calling themselves today. But it's the same group of people. It's like the School for the Americas in Georgia. They'll change the name. You know, it doesn't change the function. Voters News Service keeps changing its name. Its function remains exactly the same, to control and rig the national elections. So, you know, the name changes aren't going to fool anybody. And this is basically the reality of the United States government. We hire private armies to go wreck things. No doubt they are on the forefront of the incursions into Iran. More than a few people are wondering at this sudden flurry of so-called domestic violence within Iran just ahead of the elections if we, the United States government, is not already carrying out a covert campaign within Iran to try and destabilize them prior to an actual invasion. We know that that was certainly being done in Iraq prior to the invasion.
Here's another one that I came up with. February 2009, Blackwater had its license revoked from providing security forces or security services in Iraq. DynCorp took over. There's an article that I'm reading right now saying, oh, wow, DynCorp is a publicly traded company. This is an excellent time to invest.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, people with that kind of investment money, you know, that's exactly the way they think. You know, war is a great time to make money. It's no secret that, for those who are on the inside and who've got the money to invest in things that go boom and kill people, I mean, let's face it, it's not like there's any product liability there. You know, the product only has to work one time. And, and nobody comes back and says, well, you know, 10% of these cluster bomblets didn't fire, so I want a refund. Doesn't work like that. I mean, it's a racket. It's a wonderful racket. And, you know, I actually was very briefly involved. This company, this visual effects company that I worked for in Hollywood called Robert Abel and Associates, toward the end of their existence, they literally got involved with the Star Wars initiative, not the movie, with the for real nuclear weapon thing. And we got hired to literally create a mock-up of the battle management system. And we had John Badham, who directed War Games, come in, and we literally recreated that whole War Games computer set. We rebuilt it with real functioning machines to basically show how it was all going to look for one of the big government contractors. And they had Charlton Heston come in and do the voiceovers on our work because he had a top secret clearance because he did a lot of this stuff. And it was this very weird, bizarre situation. We never had as much money to play with in our lives. No movie ever had a budget the way we did for that final project. And, and it was just the amount of money that was being thrown out there and the amount of money that they were expecting to make. It really is amazing. When you get into military, defense, government spending, it is a whole different world. And most Americans, if they've never been exposed to it, they just don't understand it. If your company finances are a stream of water coming out of your faucet, defense contractors have fire hoses. I mean, that is the difference in scale of money that is simply flowing through there. And it's a shock the first time that you see it. It is a shock the first time you see it. Anything else, Teresa?
No, just to reiterate your point earlier that all this is funded by taxpayers and also by the poor street junkies, you know, the crackheads and the heroin junkies.
Yep.
We are all the people who are funding this kind of crap, and it makes me crazy.
Yeah, it
does.
It absolutely does. All right, Teresa, we got to let you go. We've got another caller. John in Texas, aloha. We're almost to the end of the segment, but I've got enough time to let you get started. Hello, John? Okay, I guess John was not there. All right, so moving right along here. When I was on the break here this last time, I was watching MSNBC, and they've got this show on about forensic science, and they were going on about how they'd found this body in a field, and they were going through all this forensics, and they finally identified him as this guy who'd become homeless 5 years before, and wasn't it great that we were able to finally identify this guy and put a name to these bones and everything like that? And I'm sitting here thinking, it's amazing. All the money they're spending to identify this guy's dead body, if they had taken that same money and, like, given this guy a job and let him earn his way back into an apartment and get going again, he'd still be alive. Now, we couldn't spend a few bucks to keep this guy employed and give him a home, but we could spend all these thousands of dollars to identify his dead body. Is this not a sick set of priorities in our government? We got to take a break here. John is back on the phone from Texas. Apparently, the gremlins were in his phone lines. We're going to take his call as soon as we come back from these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got John from Texas back on the line. Aloha, y'all. What's on your mind?
Howdy from Texas, Michael.
Howdy.
You know, I'm of an age where I grew up with men who had served in World War II. Mm-hmm. You know, my father and his friends. And listen to their stories. And these were men who had served in the Pacific and European theaters, all different levels of the military. And what was striking to me, several of these men had been prisoners of war.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I was a young boy, one of the men, Mr. Whisper, there was always food hidden around his house, and I always used to love going over there to go find food.
Mm-hmm.
Until his wife pulled me over, and said, you know, you need to leave that there. And I didn't understand. And then later my father explained, and I saw pictures of what he looked like coming out of there.
Yeah.
And as I got older, we went into Vietnam. And my father became real good friends with a gentleman who had been a prisoner in the Hanoi Hilton for mm-hmm. almost 7 years, Colonel Jim Lamar.
Yes.
And these men suffered tremendously at the hands of their captors.
Yes.
And were tortured.
Yes.
No question.
Yes.
And I find it now, as a grown man, and looking at our government now, how we can sanction this and sanction torture and approve of it, and whether it be in a military setting or what, yesterday some law passed or the Supreme Court ruled you can taser people to get information.
The DNA. Well, you know, here's the situation. A lot of the reason that our guys were being tortured by the North Vietnamese is we were doing it to their prisoners, you know, to the people that the United States captured. We had a caller into the show a while back who said he had been taught by the U.S. forces how to carry out these tortures to get people to talk about what was going on.
And I guess, Michael, I guess the point I'm making is at that time, the men of war who had gone through World War II would have been in leadership positions
mm-hmm.
of the country and in the military. And you would think that men who had been through it, who understood it, who had survived it, would not sanction it. And it always seemed that, and you look back at some of the films from World War II and the government produced films
mm-hmm.
and about how we took care of their prisoners and they were fed and granted there were atrocities on our side. There's always atrocities in war.
Yes. War is an atrocity. War is an atrocity.
Exactly. And you have in the field, you know, passions are high, emotions are high. So I just cannot fathom almost now, that our government is so matter of fact, almost cavalier. And
well, the answer to that is really very simple, and I'm sorry to cut you off here, but I kind of want to bring this to a point here. The reason is very, very simple. Look at how many of the people in the top positions of our government have never actually served in combat. And I know John McCain was, you know, an exception where, you know, he had his imprisonment in North Vietnam. There's still some controversy about that. He was not subject to such serious treatment because they knew his father was an admiral, and they didn't want to provoke him. But the bottom line is, look at the Bush administration. Look at people like Rush Limbaugh. They've never actually served in combat. They have no idea what it's like. They're very much caught up in this idea that war is glorious and necessary and wonderful and flag-waving. They're caught up with the Hollywood image of war, not with its reality. If you ever get a chance, there's this old classic movie called All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, the classic
and
version.
It is, and it's absolutely amazing. It was one of the movies, along with Gone with the Wind, that Hitler banned from being shown to the German people because he didn't want them to see what war was really like. Although Hitler had a private copy of Gone with the Wind, I understand.
In All Quiet on the Western Front, and I forgot the main character's name, he comes back from the front.
Exactly. Goes right into the class, and he says, don't listen to this guy at the front of the class. He's here to tell you that war is glory and it's war is heroism, and it isn't. It's blood and it's death, and it is and that's really all it is. And we need to keep getting that message out there. And that's one of the reasons I'm looking at all this propaganda we're seeing on this commemoration of D-Day, where they're trying to sell this very polished fake image of war as a glorious thing that we should always honor and glory. No, we shouldn't. All war is a war crime. All war is an atrocity. Anyway, John, got to let you go here because we're at the end of the show and I got a couple of things I got to wrap up on here. But thanks for the call. And, you know, you're absolutely correct. It is rather amazing that we have so many people who went through that at the hands of the enemy, and then they turn around and they say, well, it's okay, it's our turn now. You know, there's a lot of that thing. They did it to me, I'm going to do it to them. And I had an uncle too who also had that thing about hiding food around the house, and so I know exactly what you're talking about there. So anyway, John, thanks for the call. And I want to finish up the show here today because I want to talk about this video, and it came out yesterday. It was apparently shot the night before Barack Obama's speech in Cairo, where he basically indicated that he wants some lines drawn in the occupied territories. And this video was shot and edited and put out there on the air, and it's called Feeling the Hate in Jerusalem. You can probably Google for it. It is over at YouTube. I have a link for it on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. And it is absolutely amazing. Now, I tend to try and avoid insulting gratuitously my opponents. But on the other hand, I'm never going to interfere if they want to go out and make utter fools of themselves in public, which is what has happened here. Because this video is simply interviews of people in Jerusalem screaming about what an evil man Barack Obama is for not allowing Israel to go on stealing more of the occupied territories. God gave this land to us, you know, and just really serious invective. And here's the interesting thing about this video. This is all taking place in Jerusalem, and yet you can tell by listening to these people talk, they're American Jews. They're over there in Israel having fun. They're on vacation, rah-rah, but they're American Jews, and on this videotape, they're showing where their true loyalty lies. There's even one of them in there who says, you know, I voted for Obama, but you're wrong here, and this is our, and just complete fanatics. So make a point of seeing this video, Feeling the Hate in Jerusalem. Send it around to all your friends. I think this video is probably even more revealing of the mindset of the Israelis than the Drunken Settler video, which has become such a cult phenomenon on YouTube. So make a point of grabbing this video, seeing it, sending it to everybody you know, because it is quite, quite revealing what is going on. Now, all this last week, we've been talking about the Federal Reserve, the debt-based currency system that was imposed on the American colonies, which ultimately led to the American Revolution, was the Currency Act, and how every government, every nation that is using this debt-based currency system that descends from the Bank of England always will have massive unemployment, always will have incredible poverty, because the goal of this banking system is not to serve the people of the nation. It is to impoverish the people of the nation while making the bankers and their pet Congress critters or pet ministers of parliament incredibly, incredibly rich, and inevitably leads to a nation which must prey on its own people and then eventually on people of neighboring countries. And so we're now hearing the Federal Reserve is hiring lobbyists and public relations experts to try and clean up their image. The Federal Reserve, the sweetest-smelling bunch of greedy bastards in the world. And on that happy thought, have a good weekend. We'll be back Monday, 5 p.m. Central. I'm confusing my shows again. 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network. Until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, and aloha, America.